Continuing in our year-long theme of walking with God, we come today to the invitation to walk on water. Now, of course, no one can walk on water, and that is exactly why Jesus calls you to do it. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that in these next moments you would allow us to find ourselves in this sacred drama, and even more importantly, to find the Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. The story of Peter walking on water, or at least attempting to do that, is one of the most cherished stories in the Bible. But be clear, this is not just about Peter. It is actually about Jesus' call for you and I to also get out of the boat to which we have been clinging. So as we go through the story once again this morning, I want you to keep asking, where do I find myself in this story? Are you still in the boat? Are you actually attempting to walk across the seas against a strong wind? Or having begun to sink, are you experiencing the strong arm of Jesus catching you and pulling you to salvation? We are all somewhere in that story. Let us then begin with the 12 disciples in the boat. Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000 by the shores of Galilee when he puts the disciples in a boat and tells them to sail across the sea. Now, according to Matthew, this is the first time that Jesus has ever sent the disciples out alone. But as we will soon see, they're actually not alone at all. Well, when evening came, a great storm developed at sea. The waves began to batter against the little boat in which the disciples were sailing, and the strong wind pushed them far from land. Now, it is striking that at this point in the story, we're not told that the disciples were afraid. At least not yet. Now, these were fishermen who had spent their lives at sea. Surely they had been in rough waters before. Maybe they assumed that they would be fine if they just stayed in the boat and if the boat just held together. And so throughout the dark night, the disciples tried to ride out the storm. Sooner or later, every life passes through a great storm. Perhaps the physicians will one day find a terrible disease in your body, or worse yet, in the body of somebody you love more than yourself. Or maybe you'll lose your job and you'll feel like you're too old to start over. Or a child will get in trouble, big trouble. Or a relationship that means the world to you will somehow enter into stormy waters. Since last September, it has felt as if a storm of fear and anxiety has swept across the whole world. When these storms come, the sky grows dark, the winds begin to blow, and waves of adversity just crash across your little boat. But maybe like these disciples, you tell yourself, I can take it. I'm pretty tough. I have been in hard situations before. I've sailed through rough waters, and I've got myself a pretty good boat. I'll be okay as long as I cling to the things I have built in this life. Well, when the early hours of the next morning came, the disciples looked through the storm and they saw Jesus walking towards them, walking on the water. Now they become afraid. It wasn't the predictable storm that scared them, but the unpredictable Savior. They thought they were seeing a ghost. That's what fear does to us. It makes us think that we're seeing ghosts who are coming to get us, when in fact it's the Savior who is coming to get us. Jesus calls out to the disciples saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Take heart. Jesus is out there in the storms, nearer than you were thinking. Notice, Jesus is not in the boat, not this time. He's not in the place of safety. No, he's out in the midst of the terrifying seas. Jesus is never in the midst of safety. He can always be found in the midst of the thing you most want to avoid, because he's a Savior. The ancient Hebrews, you know, were not exactly water people. They avoided the sea as much as possible. And even when they fished in it, they never tried to get far from the shores of land, which is exactly what the storm had done to the disciples, pushing them away from land. They avoided sea precisely because of situations like this, because the sea was a place of volatility and chaos. That's where the Savior is found. In the midst of the chaos that you were hoping to avoid. And the reason that we become afraid is not just because of the chaos, but because once we see Jesus there, we know we're going to have to go out there as well. It's what it means to follow Jesus, and it is what it means to find salvation. You're going to have to get out of the boat and head to your Savior. Peter, looking through the storm, said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Notice that Peter's primary interest actually isn't to walk on water. He doesn't say, "Well, that's pretty cool. Can I try that?" No. Peter is asking for a command, for a calling to come to Jesus, who happens to be out on the water. This is at the essence, really, of every call. Your calling is not to calm the seas or to get rid of the disease or to fix things in the workplace or even in the world around you. No, your calling is just to come to Jesus, who happens to be standing on water. That means that in order to fulfill your calling, you're going to have to do some rather amazing things. But in the words of John Ortberg, if you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. That's actually the title of the fabulous book, which Pastor Ortberg tells his readers, you've got to step out of the places of safety and comfort. You've got to step out of the fear and the hurt that you've cuddled for far too long. You've got to step out of whatever it is that you're clinging to for hope. Step out of the boat. Your boat, he says, is whatever it is that you are most afraid of losing. That's the thing you have to let go of in order to respond to the call of Jesus. Because you can only have one Savior. Well, as Peter focuses on his one Savior, he steps out of the boat and begins to walk on the water. We don't know how far he got. Apparently, that's not very important. We do know that he had enough faith to at least try to follow his Savior, who was in a difficult place. So he gives it a try. You know, as a pastor who has the wonderful calling of watching people closely, I have discovered that this is the most determinative moment in their lives, when they get to a point of taking a risk on Jesus, stepping out of the boat and heading towards him. Maybe you've been in a lousy job for far too long. Maybe it's time to step out of all of the security that job gives you in order to do something that you're gifted at doing, something you were created to do, something that would actually give you joy. Joy at work. Imagine that. But you're going to have to head towards that. Maybe you've been avoiding taking leadership because you're just terrified of taking on that kind of responsibility. Or maybe you avoid taking responsibility for your own life. You've settled into this life of a victim. You've been living life by avoiding life, lying huddled in some corner of the boat. Maybe it's time to step out of that. Or maybe it's time to look for the redemptive purpose of this sickness in your body. Rather than continuing to flee the illness, to turn towards it, step right into it, and try to find the meaning of this, to discover that life is a volatile, fragile thing, and you'll never take it for granted again. That's the advantage of these storms. They call you to these kinds of critical discoveries. Another wonderful book entitled Battling the Inner Dummy. David Weiner claims that the transforming moments of life always come through what he calls controlled trauma. It is in the midst of the storms, the painful places, the boot camps of the soul that we are invited to make changes. And the invitation is not to run from that, not to try to stay secure in your little tiny boat. Because if you do that, you will just live a life of resisting this opportunity to change. You will continue to be victimized by your addictions and your temptations. If you want to actually resist that, to resist temptation, then the time comes to turn and to face whatever pain it is that makes that temptation so alluring to you. You do that by heading right towards it, where the Savior is waiting for you. But like Peter, as soon as you do that, as soon as you take that kind of risk towards moving to new life, to change, you'll find that there is such a strong wind of resistance against you. There is so much opposition waiting for anyone who actually decides to make changes to their lives. And before you know it, you'll find that a torrent of doubt is railing against you. You'll ask yourself, who was I to think that I could be different? What was I doing leaving the security of that old life on that my little boat? Am I nuts? I can't walk on water. Of course you can't. That's exactly what it means to walk on water. To do that which you cannot do. To do that which only God can do through you, with you, and in you. Know how you can tell if you're in the midst of growth as a person? If you are a water walker? Ask yourself, what is it that you are doing today that you could not do apart from the power of God? If you're not coming up with anything, that means you don't really need God. And that means you're still back in the boat. It means you're not even a part of the story here. Notice the other 11 disciples are just kind of in the shadows of this story. They're not in this drama called life. No, this is between Peter and Jesus and you, who are there with him, if you're ready to be fully alive, as you were created to be, you're ready to move towards salvation. Well, as Peter notices this strong wind against him, he becomes afraid. Then he begins to sink. That's what fear does to us. It makes us sink into a sea of doubt and self-incrimination. It is for this reason that the Bible cautions us so much against fear. In fact, the greatest command we find in the New Testament, the one that comes up the most often, is the command, fear not. That's because fear is the greatest enemy to faith. Fear takes your eyes off of the Savior that you were headed towards, and it focuses you on the strong wind that is against you. As Peter began to sink in the water, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately, we are told, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. When you respond to the call of Jesus, when you take a risk, step out of the boat, and begin to do things that you cannot do, it's only a matter of time before the strong wind overwhelms you. And out of fear, you fail at what you were trying to do. It happens to all of us. In fact, it happens to all of us repeatedly. When that happens, all you have to do is to cry out to Jesus, who is closer to you than the strong wind. The problem isn't about failure. That's why the Savior is nearby. Problem is taking the risk, giving it a try, heading out towards Him. Failure can easily be redeemed, but not for those who never step out of the boat. They never try, they never get close to Jesus. After Jesus pulls Peter up out of the waters, the two of them get into an intimate little conversation right there out on the waves. Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I have always wondered, why does Jesus scold Peter? Why doesn't he yell at the other 11 disciples who don't even get out of the boat? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus is always harder on those who have a little faith than on those who have no faith at all. Having gotten your feet wet, Jesus expects you to learn a little along the way. He expects you to never be satisfied with a little faith. You know, my hunch is that there's probably not an atheist in the sanctuary today. If that's who you were, you wouldn't even be here. No, we would all say that we have at least a little belief. It's just that it's mixed with unbelief and fear. Right. That's true of all of us. But you can never settle for that. The whole point of walking with God is to make progress in the faith. And the way that you do that is not by trying to muster up the faith on your own. You don't have that much faith in you. The wind is too great for that. No, the way you find more faith is by drawing nearer and nearer to the Savior who is with you. If you want to ever have more than a little faith, then you will have to come to depend on the great faithfulness of God. But to do that, you have first got to get out of the boat. Let us pray. Almighty God, when the strong wind is raging against the little boat of life, give us the vision to see the Savior who is near, that we may forget our inability and fear, beholding only His faithfulness. Amen.